Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks a lot, Mark, and thanks for checking out this podcast at HoustonTexans.com. I'm Drew Doherty. It's the offseason. We just thanked Mark for setting this podcast up, and we're going to thank him for joining us and talking about the season that was 2009 and looking ahead to 2010. First and foremost, Mark, how much fun was this, this 09 campaign? Because I guess in the end analysis, it was a success, correct?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you go 9-7, first time team history. That was great. I mean, that was fun. The final four games, winning all of them when it just looked so bleak at 5-7. You were wondering what was going to happen down the stretch. You knew that you had the Rams and had Seattle, which were beatable teams, but two tough ones to close it out, and they won both of them. I was worried about those two games before the season began. How were they going to do at Miami? How were they going to do against New England at home? The fact that they were able to win those two, along with the other two, and close out at 9-7 was pretty good. But, Drew, I think that the epitaph reads the four-game losing streak killed their chances to make the playoffs, killed their real good chance to make the playoffs, and they'll have to live with that. Hopefully they can improve on that next year.
Yeah, that four-game win streak, really a dagger, and I suppose another dagger, not as equally, maybe not as equally, I guess, fatal, but the mark and the record in the AFC South.
Yeah, it's weird because when they beat the Titans week two, there they were 1-0 in the division, and I thought, well, this is going to be a good year in the division. I mean, what do we think is 3-3 at worst, 4-2 maybe? And they go 1-5. That was their only victory in the AFC South. Yet they finished second. It was bizarre to see that. So I'm thinking that, you know, they'll improve in that category. They have to, don't they? All the division losses were close games. They could have had Jacksonville each of those times. We know what happened against the Colts. We know what happened against the Titans on Monday night. So, you know, I don't think that's a real sound the alarm disaster kind of thing. You know, when we look at that four-game losing streak, it wasn't like they got blown out in those games. They were all close games. They didn't execute. We know what happened. But those are very correctable things, and they did correct those things in the final four games. So that has to make you feel a little bit better about 2010.
Let's play reverse crystal ball. If in July I told you you'll lose your two starting guards, you won't be able to run the ball for more than about 3.5 yards a carry, you'll have safeties shuttle in and out, what would you have said about the season that would be for the 2009 Texans?
The running the ball thing would have really scared me, because if you had told me that in July, I would have said, well, what's the other stuff? Matt Schaub's health. I mean, we were all worried about that going into the 2009 season. What about the defensive improvement? Are we going to get that overall? And mentioning that about the safeties that you did, I would really have wondered about their ability to stop the opponent, and it turned out to be a great asset of theirs, their play on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm thinking that I would have been really worried, but you never know how things play out. I think if that's one thing we learned from this season, you just don't know what it's all going to mean. Matt Schaub stayed healthy 16 games. A few people would have predicted that.
Yeah.
And he ends up with the sixth best passing performance in NFL history. I mean, I just think it was a phenomenal campaign for him, particularly since they were unable to run the football the way they wanted to. So there are a lot of pluses, but they still have a lot of work to do in key areas.
Yeah, no one ever really doubted that Matt Schaub was a capable quarterback when healthy, but were you surprised? I mean, he put up better numbers than any of Warren Moon's seasons as an Oiler. I mean, it's like you said, the sixth best season in NFL history. Has he reached a ceiling, or do you think his ceiling might be even better or higher?
Well, I think you know, yardage-wise, that's an astronomical number. Maybe he could throw for more, but it's not the amount of yards that you want to see. You want to see him cut down on the devastating interceptions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the three pick sixes were really a sore spot, you know, so he's got to work on that. You know, the key time, key drive, not making that big mistake. I'm not going to take anything away from his performance overall, though, because, you know, twice he got his team in the field goal range and they were unable to connect. And I think Matt has a knack for bringing his team into winning position. You know, look what he did against Jacksonville once they got that turnover at home, brought them down to the goal line, weren't able to get it in. Even after throwing the pick six in Arizona, gets them down to the goal line, they weren't able to get it in. So I think Matt Schaub is a clutch quarterback. I think he can throw for a lot of yards. I think they're in really good hands with him. But I still think that he himself would say he can do better. He can throw more touchdown passes. He can cut down on some of the mistakes. And with a running game, just imagine how devastating this offense is going to be with a healthy Matt Schaub.
Oh, yeah. And other than blood relatives, for the last decade or so, you've seen more Andre Johnson games than anybody. You broadcasted all his Texans games. You were there for part of his Miami career. Does this guy do anything anymore that surprises you? I mean, he put up 1,500 yards for the second consecutive season. Does he do anything at all that surprises you, Mark?
Yeah, I think with him, it's like watching a great basketball player, a great baseball player, a great athlete of any kind, where the great ones make it look effortless. They make it look like they're just kind of running through the park. And that's what Andre Johnson looks like sometimes. He's just kind of strolling around in the secondary and, oh, here's another big play, here's another big play. And then every once in a while, he makes a play that makes him look like a superhero, like the play against Arizona where he knocked over three guys on his way to the end zone. I mean, that's Andre Johnson. And, you know, one of the painful things about the NFL postseason is seeing Larry Fitzgerald doing what he's doing again in the playoffs, because I think a lot of people acknowledge that Andre Johnson is the best wide receiver in the league, and he's put up the numbers to prove that. But you want to see him on a postseason stage. And so as good as you feel about getting the winning season, it's still a bitter pill to swallow to not be in the postseason, because you want to see a guy like him get in. I mean, and along with everybody else, the franchise, the fans, you want to see everybody rewarded. But Andre Johnson, a Hall of Fame caliber player, you've got to see him get into the playoffs.
Let's stay in the receiving core. Another intriguing guy is Jacoby Jones. Does Jacoby Jones get better and improve on what he did in 2009, or does he stay the same? Does he regress? Where do you see his career going?
I think it's going up, you know, and Jacoby missed that Jacksonville trip. That's really too bad, because that was that fourth straight loss. I think he would have helped. You know, that was a weird game. Schaub goes out for a while. He comes back. They're already without Owen Daniels. They're playing Glenn Martinez, and I like Glenn, but come on, if Jacoby Jones is playing in that game, maybe he makes a big play that helps you out. Maybe they don't call the halfback option. You know, maybe things turn out differently, and they're able to win that, and we're talking about the Texans in the playoffs. So it's very key for Jacoby to continue to behave like a professional off the field, so you can see that outstanding playmaking ability on the field. Look what he did against Tennessee week two. I mean, it wasn't new what he did at the end of the year. He was able to do it at the beginning of the year, but now he's got to be able to do it throughout the entire season. Stay on the field, you know, stay a good team player, and behave like a professional. I think he will continue to grow as a person. That's going to help him. He is outstanding. I mean, seriously, you look at that. Matt Schaub, the kind of confidence he has in Jacoby Jones, he looks for him now. That's a wonderful thing to see, because you've got to be able to make plays away from Andre Johnson, who draws so much attention.
Yeah, he's such an explosive playmaker, and, you know, it kind of leads into the hiring of Dennison as the offensive coordinator. How lucky is that guy getting to step into a situation like this where, A, he knows the head coach so very well and knows the system the guy runs, and B, has a system and players and talent that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because in Denver, you look at him before McDaniels took over, and he had Cutler to work with, which is nice. Brandon Marshall looked at a lot of talent. They actually put up more yards than the Texans did in 2008. But then he takes over this 2009 Texans offense, and they have to fix the running game. They know that. But I think it took a big step toward getting fixed with these last two games against Miami and New England with Arian Foster. They add a running back. They get Steve Slayton back, who will be, I think, a whole lot better in year three than he was in year two. Let's face it. I think that was an aberration. Dennis has got to be very happy with what he's got to work with in Houston. I think it was a tremendous move for his career. You know, you heard rumblings about him possibly staying there or maybe going to Washington. Come on, you can be the OC here in Houston. And Gary Kubiak is a very empowering head coach. He wants people to take over. He wants to be able to delegate. He wants you to be your best and have autonomy, if at all possible, if you're capable of it. And I think Dennison is. I think it's going to be a real good fit here.
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation. And you just touched on another aspect that I think is pretty cool, or not cool, but intriguing, is that running back spot. You mentioned you think they bring in another running back. Do you think that comes through free agency? Do you think that comes through the draft? Both? What do you see happening there?
Well, I don't know about free agency, but I would be shocked if they don't draft a running back this year. You know, they wanted to last year. They admitted that. So they're going to draft at some point a running back. I don't know if it's going to be early, but you do have Slayton coming back. Let's face it, he ran for over 1,200 yards in 2008. I think Slayton has the ability to do a lot of things that he wasn't doing in 2009. Arian Foster, he'll be back. Now you add another guy or two to the mix. I mean, I really think that you can't have enough, you know, because you see an injury or two and all of a sudden you're down to two and then you might be down to one. So bring four or five guys in here, let them fight it out, see what happens. I think they'll trap somebody, and maybe that somebody doesn't even start right away, but they are there to help and be developed as possibly an every down back or who knows. But I think the running game as a whole will be a whole lot better. How could it not be? You know, if you have a healthier offensive line to run behind, and again, the adjustments they made in these final two games, I think it says a lot of good things about where they're headed on the ground in 2010.
Defensively, was Bernard Pollard your happiest surprise, or was it the great play out of the rookie Brian Cushing, or maybe even something else?
You know, it's funny. I think collectively I was very happy because after the first two, three games, you thought, oh, my goodness, where are they going as a defense? Now, I knew that it could not be as good as it possibly could be opening day against the Jets because there was no way Dante Robinson was going to be able to come in and be in top form. You knew they were playing without Eugene Wilson, which was a key contributor to their success in the previous season. And then Cushing, without any preseason games, how good was he going to be against New York? Plus, you're dealing with the mystery of a rookie quarterback with a running game that was pretty good with the New York Jets. Sanchez, by the way, in that game made every throw. I still don't understand how.
Yeah, he looked like Joe Montana, yeah.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. And he looked very good again against the Bengals in the first playoff game, although he only had to throw it 15 times, including 12. But I digress. I think, you know, Pollard was obviously a huge surprise. You bring him in off the street, and look, Rick Smith has done that kind of thing before, but to this effect, I don't think so. I mean, this guy was all world to them, and Cushing was an animal. To see D'Amico Ryans and Brian Cushing both go to the Pro Bowl, that's going to make a lot of people happy. And I really believe, you know, I know Mario Williams took some heat for making the Pro Bowl, but if you look at his numbers, I mean, if it's about numbers, he had the numbers to warrant getting in, even though they weren't astronomical numbers. It wasn't a huge year for AFC defensive ends. And I think a lot of it is rep to get into the Pro Bowl, but I think it's a good thing that the Texans have that rep now. And let's face it, he's a starting defensive end for a team that was one of the best defensive teams in the league if you subtract the first three games. So I thought he deserved to go. So collectively, I was very impressed with what they did, very impressed with Frank Bush. And if they could somehow start it off the way they finished it off, I think it's going to be a real tough team to beat in 2010.
Wrapping things up, defensively, any position that leaps out at you, if you could address it and make it better, what's the one place you want to improve?
I'm a little intrigued about that defensive tackle group, okay, because, you know, I look at Jeff Scanina, and would any of us be totally shocked if he's back? You know, seriously. Because the guy seems like he can play for the next 50 years.
Will he be the first player to collect Social Security and still be in the league?
Well, the funny thing is, like, every time the Texans go to a city, Scanina has to get 20 tickets. Chances are he played there. But Scanina, Frank Okan was deactivated for most of the season. I'm not sure what's going to happen with him. He's got the body type I think they're looking for as at least a reserve, if not a starter. I thought Sean Cody and Amobi really did a nice job. But you still have to get somebody, don't you? Even if they don't start, somebody to develop as a defensive tackle. Because as we've seen from other teams around the league that are very good defensively, you cannot have enough bodies in there, you know? And again, injury will bring somebody right to the forefront. So I want to see somebody challenged. Look at the Patriots, who will probably end up franchising Vince Wilfork. They drafted Ron Brace because Ron Brace is that big body type that they like. He fits their system. I still think they need a big body. And Okan's got the body. I just don't know if he's going to be part of their future plans. I think he'll get the offseason to try to prove himself. But it would not surprise me if they picked up an offensive tackle either through free agency or pretty high in the draft.
Mark, we asked for 10 minutes. You gave us 15. We probably could have talked for about 4 or 5 hours. So let's do it again here in the offseason. We appreciate your time. Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Thanks a lot.
All right, Drew. Thanks a lot.